Hey everyone, we're so glad to be back with you here in 2026. This is Josh.
Hey, and this is Scott. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year. It's been a good time, but we've been off for a few weeks. Haven't done a podcast in a little bit.
I know. People are wondering.
Yeah.
These guys ever coming back?
That's right, but it is back.
Yeah.
Did you have any highlights from your Christmas season?
Oh, it was a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. Highlights, I don't know. I mean, I got to spend a lot of time with my family, mm-hmm. which is always a blast for me.
Yep.
And had some time away from the office, so I did just more reading and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Took a few good hikes, mm-hmm. and loved the Christmas Eve service.
Yeah.
Here at Grace. Those are some highlights. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. We went to Bowling Green, spent a few days with my family, which was a lot of fun. All mm-hmm. the cousins got together, and mm-hmm. And then last week was pretty laid back, and yeah. So that was nice. But glad to be back.
Yeah.
Glad to be back in the office today and all mm-hmm. that. So, mm-hmm. And then we had a good weekend at church. So
yeah, we wanted to start the year focusing on prayer. Mm-hmm. We're not, we don't dabble in the novelties here at Grace. We just do the basics. And what could be more basic and more important,
right,
to the Christian life and the life of the church than to pray, mm-hmm. and to specifically pray around the Word of God,
right?
So that's what we did. We started the first Lord's Day of 2026 in prayer and preaching about prayer. So I preached from Colossians 4 yesterday morning, and then last night we had a great prayer gathering, mm-hmm. and we heard more from the Scripture from three of the elders here at Grace, and then we prayed through the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
It was a great way to start the new year, and my prayer and hope and intention is to continue to pray throughout the year. I always think about it this way. I'm not a big New Year's resolution fan, however, because I've failed a lot. But however, I have been saying that God made us creatures of time, mm-hmm. and that we mark time. And one of the markers is years.
That's right.
So it really is okay, I think, to think about a new year, mm-hmm. look back, maybe some rejoicing and gratitude, hopefully, yes, but also maybe some regret, maybe some, wish I had, you know.
Yeah.
And then just deal with that with the Lord. Get that out and talk about that and sure. ask the Lord to give us grace. Mm-hmm. But then to look ahead and say, new time, new year, new opportunity, what are they?
Yeah.
And let's pray. So that's what we're doing. And we do it every year. And we do it every day, really.
Yeah.
Every day is a time marker.
Yeah.
So that's all right. That's it. That's what we did yesterday.
Yeah.
In that's prayer. Great.
Mm-hmm. Well, so with that, we've decided that at the Words of Grace podcast during the month of January, we're going to emphasize prayer. So
that's right.
Rather than us recapping the sermon and doing some discussion around that in January, we're going to be talking about prayer. But today, since the sermon yesterday was on prayer, we are going to talk a little bit about
the sermon.
Yeah. One of those things, one of the parts of it that I found particularly interesting was the things that might keep us from prayer. Mm-hmm. And so let's just go through each of those, like three or four things, mm-hmm. And have a little discussion around those.
Okay. And let me put that in a little bit of a context here. So yesterday I preached from Colossians 4, and it's a very short passage, and it simply says, continue steadfastly in prayer, be watchful in it with thanksgiving, at the same time pray also for us. That's Paul asking for prayer. Mm-hmm. And so there were four points, pray steadfastly, continually, constantly, and then pray watchfully, pray with thanksgiving, and then pray asking, mm-hmm. for ourselves and for other people. So on the pray steadfastly or pray constantly, I had a question in there, and the question is, what would move us away from prayer?
Yeah.
If the command is don't be moved away from prayer, be steadfast, what are the things that would move us away from prayer? Mm-hmm. So that was your question. Now what, that was the context. What was your question?
Well, the question was more, let's talk about those.
Gotcha.
Those four things that might move us away.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I mentioned, and you and I have been talking about this, so I'd love your thoughts on this, but one of them relates to, I guess, theology. We may not use the word in our heads, theology, mm-hmm. But I think we sometimes we don't pray because we're just kind of confused, and we just don't understand the relationship between a sovereign God who accomplishes his purposes in the world and for our lives when we are in Christ, and our responsibility to pray, and then understanding that God actually responds to the prayers of his people.
Yeah.
So how? So the question is, sometimes we just get confused. Well, that just seems complicated. God's going to do what God's going to do. Why should I be bothering him with my requests, or my requests aren't going to matter because God's going to do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And that's not the way to look at it, but there is a way of thinking about those two elements in theology, in the theology of prayer. You had some good thoughts. Won't you throw them out there?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of people out there that try to take on what we would call like an open theism kind of a theology that makes it sound like God is just as clueless about what's going to happen tomorrow, or he's just waiting for us to do something. And he's hoping that we're going to ask him for it and then he's going to bless us or something like that. Well, when we read scripture, it represents God as being sovereign over all things. You know, he says, I'm God and there is no other. I'm God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. So so if we're going to read the Bible rightly, that puts us in a place where God knows and has commanded everything that's going to take past take place. And so that puts us in this place of tension that's like, well, if God already knows, then it would seem that it doesn't matter if I pray or not. And that, and so if we're going to hold that kind of theology, it can tempt us to disengage and just say what will be, and it doesn't matter. And I would say, first, God ordains the end, yes, but he also ordains the means. And we can't just cherry pick God's sovereignty in the Bible and not pay attention to places where it is clearly represented that God responds to the prayers of his people. They ask for something, and it even uses language sometimes like the Lord relented from something. And then he does the thing that he wouldn't have done had they not prayed. And so that can create a lot of interesting conversation, but I don't think it takes away from God's sovereignty. I think he ordained the means. And so that means we are called to pray, and God does respond to prayer. And it can be a little confusing to think about, you know, how all that fits together, but the command is there to pray. And so I'd say we need to be faithful and obedient in praying and asking God of things, because it may be that that's the thing that he's ordained so that he can respond to. So I'd say that's one part of it.
Would you say that means that God is gracious enough to include us in the things that he's doing in the world, and prayer is the way that happens?
I think so.
So we get included
In
the work of God.
Yeah, I think if he just wanted to work everything out automatically that didn't include us, there would be no idea of prayer.
Would you apply that to what we call sanctification? So let me set it up again, that God intends to conform us to the image of Christ and to present us before him blameless and holy and complete. But that process, the process of doing that, he intends to include us in growth. And therefore prayer is the means, maybe the primary means, by which we come before God and participate in our sanctification. Would it go that way too?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah. I think if God wanted to, he could, you know, the moment that we're converted, just make us, he could glorify us the moment we were converted. But he sets us on a path, and that path is not entirely automatic.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same. It's like it is God works in, work out your own salvation, right? That's Philippians chapter 2. For it is God who works in you both to will and work for his good pleasure. So there's a cooperative process there. God is bringing us along, but he's also including us, and we exert effort. I think it's the same.
So to the issue of the theology of God is sovereign, and yet God is also responsive to us, and we have a responsibility. There's really no conflict. We would say there is a complementarian relationship, because that's the way God has set that up. And so therefore, there is no theological problem. We ought to be praying.
Yeah, and I would say that the temptation to disengage for the sake of this kind of theology is exactly that, a temptation to sin by assuming that God has no care for us in the process, that that it's just going to happen automatically. That's not what it says in the Bible.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of picking one set of passages over another so that you don't have to pray.
Yeah.
Or because you disbelieve something about God that's shown clearly in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And the other side of it that I think is really important too, is that I think there's an effect that prayer has on us that increases our love for the Lord and increases our faith. Mm. Because when we engage in prayer, when we ask God for things, and when he answers those prayers, sometimes it takes years, like you mentioned, you know, you've been praying for decades for things. And sometimes the prayer, you know, I think about the country music song, I thank God for unanswered prayer, you know, remember that? So like the idea that we see God do things in response to our prayer, even if it's not the exact same thing we were asking, helps us see the faithfulness of God, increases our love for him, grows us in our sanctification. And so I think there's an effect. And I wouldn't want to overemphasize that up and against the other. It's not that prayer is just so that we exercise something and it makes us grow or something. I think prayer is effective and it helps us grow.
That's right. It's effective in both ways.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The other, another thing that we shared on Sunday, we didn't spend as much time on the theology part Sunday, if at all, I can't remember. But I do know yesterday in the sermon, I talked a lot about how we grow impatient and we lose endurance because we don't see immediate or even short-term results from our prayers. In other words, we're praying by sight and not by faith.
Yep.
And I get it. Mm-hmm. But we need to push on through that.
That's right.
And we need to remember that that prayer is faith, that we are praying by faith, not by sight.
Yeah.
And that God is responding, but he isn't always revealing to us the way he's responding.
Yeah.
And he's not responding always in our timing.
Yeah.
And so again, you've got two things going on there. You've got God working in terms of his work in the world. But you've got our hearts being sanctified to give up our demands that God do things our way.
Yep.
And to keep coming to him and praying to him and letting him do his work and trusting it.
Yeah.
So we don't grow impatient and therefore lose endurance.
Yeah, I think impatience is such a cultural thing for us, you know, like technology. We got the microwave now. Mm-hmm. There are probably people who are listening to us talk on twice the speed in their podcast app. You know, their AI summarizes books for us instead of us reading them. We don't live in an agricultural society really primarily anymore where people have to wait to see the fruit of something. And so the notion of having to wait long term for something to take place is just very foreign to us. And because of that, I think we're very easily discouraged when we don't see the growth. And so this is, I think, something that's just so antithetical to the way that we think.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get our minds around.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. Just talking about that, we always say it's our modern technology that's making us so impatient. But I remember way before we had internet and cell phones and all that, how impatient I would get when I just happened to get at the gas pump that was slow. It's like, this is going to take me an extra minute to fill up my tank.
That's right.
How terrible is this?
I think it has a circular effect. I think our impatience drove the creation of the technology, but I think the more that we have it, the more we expect it, and more and more. Yeah, for sure.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised that the Lord will answer on his timing.
That's right.
And we should trust, and he will answer in his way.
Yeah.
And we should trust his heart and his goodness. That'll keep us praying. Okay. A third one.
That's right.
Is what we would just call pragmatism. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem that prayer is practical enough.
That's right. You said people would say, I don't want your prayers. I want your action.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you remember hearing that over the past few years?
Yeah. Somebody would put up on social media, we're praying for these folks when something happens.
Yeah.
Whether it's a disaster or a shooting or something like that. Yeah. Somebody says, we're praying for you.
Yeah.
And then the answer is, I don't want that. I want action.
Yeah.
Seems impractical.
Yeah. Well, that's one example of so many other things. I think the thing that is the logic of that, and if I could just talk about that for a moment.
Sure.
The logic of that is there's only one thing you can do. It's either prayer,
right,
or take action. Mm-hmm. So that's faulty logic.
Yeah.
You can do both.
Right.
And for the sake of argument, you don't have to pit one against the other to stress the other.
Right.
So let's just get that out of our heads and say, mm-hmm. of course we should be active. And of course there are things we should do in life. Not just the Christian life. I mean, like church life. Like, we should go to work. But aren't we at the same time praying for our daily bread? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to pray for my daily bread. I'm going to go to work. What you should do is go to work and pray for your daily bread.
Right.
Or I'm going to pray for my daily bread and not go to work. No, what you should do is pray for your daily bread and then go to work. Mm-hmm. So you see, the logic doesn't hold up. And right. So the whole, it's just not practical to pray argument. We should just dismiss that one too and realize that, sort of like the theological quandary at the beginning of this podcast, God's sovereign and our responsibility. Mm-hmm. Well, we should be asking and praying, and then when appropriate and in the right ways and according to the will of God, we should be obeying and acting.
Yeah.
And that will just help us wipe that out of right. our minds. And then the other one, the final one, and then we can wrap this up, is I think one of the things that moves us away from prayer is it calls for us to take responsibility to engage. Mm-hmm. And I addressed this a little bit yesterday on Sunday, that now I'm going to talk specifically about the Christian life, but you could apply it to outside of that, is we are passive creatures mm-hmm. waiting for someone to capture us. And so when we come to church, we're saying, okay, I hope whether it's the preaching or the music or the greeters or the coffee or whatever, it's like, or the Sunday school class, it's like, they need to engage me.
Yeah.
And if they don't engage me, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's a passive way of understanding the Christian life. An active way of understanding the Christian life is, I'm a born-again person. I'm forgiven of my sins, given the gift of the Holy Spirit. I have an open Bible. I have a church to go to. And there are people there waiting for me. And God will be in our midst. And I'm going to go and I'm going to engage. And one of the things that we do is we pray. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to check out during prayer, you know, look at my phone or daydream.
Right.
I'm going to engage. The same in our quiet time. You know, I'm looking for a new quiet time method that will engage me. Like, nothing wrong with quiet time books. You know, I've got a stack of books by the chair where I read and pray every morning that I refer to. But I'm not depending on those things to engage me. Mm-hmm. I'm using those things to help me, but not depending on them to engage me. Why? Because when I wake up to pray in the mornings, here are the realities, okay? Number one, I'm a Christian. I'm a man in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit. Jesus has made access for me to pray. I have the Word of God written in a beautiful Bible. Even if it wasn't beautiful, I've got the Scripture in my hands. Mm-hmm. And I can come and engage with God. And in doing that, then, yes, the Holy Spirit engages me at a deeper level. And the Holy Spirit teaches me. But I'm not depending on outside forces
right.
of other people or resources or books or excitement or novelty mm-hmm. to engage me.
Yep.
I'm taking responsibility for my growth. Mm-hmm. Trusting the Holy Spirit is the one who provides it.
Yeah.
So I just needed to address that because I see it often, and I'm calling our church to a deeper discipleship.
Yeah.
To not sit around and wait for the church or other people to capture us, yeah. but to come in fully engaged, taking responsibility and discipling mm-hmm. and seeking the Lord together.
Yeah. So we can all set these kind of roadblocks to prayer aside.
Yeah.
And seek to engage in prayer more together this year.
That's right.
And we're going to be addressing more about prayer over the next 3 weeks on the podcast, mm-hmm. At least 3 weeks. And if you have questions or areas that you'd like to discuss or ask about in prayer, then we want you to email questions. And you can email at gccstaff. at gccnashville.org. gccstaff@gccnashville.org. And we'd love to look at those questions, and maybe those will help inform what we talk about over the next couple of weeks. So invite you to do that. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
We look forward to seeing you on Sunday.